Now it's counting up.
You got it.
No, I didn't. You did.
This is the April 7th meeting of the Kirby Planning.
December 7th? Looking out the window.
Oh.
Yeah, seriously.
And I wanted to bring everybody up to date. After our last meeting, we sent out, Aaron did the fax and sent it out to Nick and Melissa Hall, and I had approved it, and Eric Wilson called and said that it was not correct. It was lacking. Did he call you?
He stopped by to see me today.
He did?
Today, yeah.
Good. So.
No, it was yesterday.
Okay.
So we need to read.
He felt badly about a bad, he had a bad day. So we went back and did a new findings of fact for this, and we have to approve it before it can be sent out again. Eric has already seen it and said this is fine. So I would like it if you guys would.
And the halls have already seen it too.
Great. So the difference is we added fireworks. We had no firearms, but no fireworks. So we added no fireworks.
We talked about that too.
We did talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And the problem was that the.
He had to post rules about firearms and fireworks, and it should have been none allowed.
Yes, and one of the problems was that our minute taker did not put the facts in the minutes. So both Aaron and I had to listen to the audio tape. That is not a lot of fun.
I just listened to the selector meeting one today because I lost my notes.
Oh, really? So anyway, so then the other part is quiet hours. We had until we had 10 p.m., and he wanted to add to 7 p.m.
To 7 a.m.
7 a.m., so we did that. We added
maximum cars,
which are 4.
Yeah.
And that was it.
He wanted no dogs, right?
He wanted no pets.
No pets. And the halls did not agree to that.
Right. The halls did not agree
that's
to it.
That's their call, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the homeowner should have say over.
Oh, absolutely. And the problem also is that their dogs, the Wilson's dogs, are always down at Stanley's house. So I think Nick and Eric had a very good talk about that. So, anyway. So, if you could please look at this, and we will approve it.
Send $60 more of certified mail.
No.
It's fine with me. I've already looked at it.
Copies?
There's one right here.
Thank you very much.
Looks wonderful.
Wonderful.
Looks good to me.
Okay.
I'll move. We approve it.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay.
Okay.
In keeping with what it says there.
And the Bears are awake for the season. Yeah. Found that out last season.
And I forgot that we were supposed to approve the March minutes. They were incomplete, as far as I'm concerned, because they did not include the facts of finding. And we needed that. Both Aaron and I had depended on that being there.
Who's doing the minutes?
Annie.
Okay.
Should
I be doing them now?
I'm doing them now.
Okay.
Because... I Because Victor will eventually take over the chairmanship of the planning committee, and I will jump in and do minutes. So I guess that's all we say on that. And I'm not going to say anything else. I just, right? I mean, they were incomplete to me. They didn't.
Yeah. I would have taken my own minutes, but I thought I would have hers to work off from. So
right.
And I had to rely on my right. memory.
Yeah. And we all thought that they would. But I don't know if she knew or not. I looked at the last minutes of the, is it on Ganya Road?
Gorham Road.
Yeah, and they were so beautifully done. And we finally figured out it must have been your mother.
Oh.
Who did them.
Maybe.
They were so good.
From a long time ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought it might be Annie, but Mary, for Todd Glowis, that's when the everything was discombobulated. And
just one.
Almost.
Yes.
I don't know this from personal experience, but I know a lot of people. Apparently, like, this is one of the things that AI does, like, apparently really well, mm-hmm. is take minutes of meetings.
People like, in Kirby don't like AI.
Not
myself, but I've had town residents pop into my office to specifically make sure we're not using AI.
Well, that may or may not be true, but I'm just, to the extent that people don't want to do this task right. and no one seems right. to like it, mm-hmm. what I've heard is that, and I'm not a big, you know, but there are things that apparently does well. And
They do that.
Yeah, and they, like, to the point of, like, knowing that you are Hillary.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And, like, writing Hillary said whatever without even.
Right.
So but they use it in medical institutions yeah. regularly
all the time.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, I just put it out there. I've never actually done it, but I've read minutes that it didn't.
I do think that we might give it a try sometime. And just if people ask, we'll say, yes, because I think it's important to be transparent, but I also think that we are being pushed into the future. So, and it is something that they do. AI does do really good.
We also have these recordings as right. a backup.
Right.
So
yep.
there's yep. multiple levels where humans are like verifying.
Right, like you would never have AI do it.
Yeah.
You would never
yeah.
have AI do it and then yeah. like upload it and be like, these are the minutes.
Right.
But
I agree.
In the same way that you're using the technology that is the tape recorder, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think people, I mean, yeah. there's a lot to be cautious of, but I think people just fear it because they just yeah. don't know anything about it, yeah. including me. But yeah. I'd be totally willing to yeah. do that.
And I don't want to hijack the whole, but it's just
no, it's totally fine.
I mean, it's essentially recording, but it's writing it down.
It is writing it down because it's the same with medical records.
It's just, it removes a step.
Yeah. Right. I totally agree.
That's okay. a great suggestion.
Thank you, Alex.
We may go rogue on that one. See how it goes.
And we can go.
Aaron, if I may, residents that are popping in to make sure you're not using it, on what authority do they think they're speaking?
I think they're just making their opinions on it known. Just like how people don't want any part of this building to change, even though we don't have enough space for our records. Mm-hmm. Kind of that thing. It's just
a narrow way of thinking.
So they come in to put on record that they're objecting
right.
to it, and we have nowhere to store their record
right,
of objecting. So.
We will make you a yeah. bumper sticker to hand them.
Let me
says, right.
file that
duddy.
In the old
right.
recycling.
Right.
It's the only place we have.
I am an old right. fuddy-duddy, yeah. and here is my bumper sticker.
We did use AI on the...
For the town plan.
The survey.
The survey that we sent out.
Yeah.
It might have been something around that prompted them to stop. They might have seen it in minutes or heard something about it.
Oh.
Oh, that it was used for.
That it was used for. But it also didn't do a great job of the compilation at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do a lot by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
But it tried. And I can't remember. David Eikenberry had a program for AI, and I can't remember.
There's one that's called Granola. It's a great name for it.
Which one do you use?
I've been... so many. Playing around with just like Claude and ChatGPT. Claude. Like, you know, yeah. And I'm a lawyer, and we're very, like, you've heard
of
these stories. You know, and so like a lot of potential upside, but also kind of scary and it making up stuff. And but
for this, it might.
But I've definitely crossed. Right. I've personally crossed the hump of like total fear to. There's definitely places where it's useful.
Sure. And
to me, when it's condensing information, like to me that seems like where it's like maybe
a good use.
Yeah, like it's like so you know, like or taking a long thing and making it shorter, or taking all this and you know, that seems to be maybe a very trustworthy.
It's, yeah.
You know, like
it's pretty impressive actually. Some of it is scary accurate. I don't know how I got into it, but I was responding to somebody in my Google Gmail, and whatever I pressed, it produced an entire letter out of AI that I could send in response. And I sat there and read it, and I said, holy crap, this is really good. This is, I would say these things. It was personal. It touched on all the points without getting too verbose. It was succinct, but also added some personal touches. It was remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, it's a little scary, but I only changed one thing and sent it. So.
Well, mild appropriate caution is always important at first.
I think if we're reviewing it for content,
but at some point,
okay.
You have to admit the Earth is not flat.
Really?
There are 15,000 satellites circling the Earth right now. The Earth's not flat. So.
Good point.
Well, I only know that because I saw Hail Mary, but okay.
Yeah.
I move we approve the March minutes. No? Don't we have to? Because you said it wasn't completed at the time?
Thank you. Thank you, Marty.
I think AI is good for this.
I would vote for that.
At least we test it out. We see if it's good, accurate.
I'm happy to do a little research on that, too, and ask around to what people are using. A free product would be great.
I think Claude is free, isn't it?
How do you spell it?
Claude, it's like C-L-A-U-D-E.
Like the name.
Like the name.
Not like cat claws.
Okay. And that I don't know. Yeah, exactly. And I would see, I don't know, honestly, even if there is like a specific product that people use for, you know, for taking minutes or if they can use Claude or there's a paid version of Claude, which I don't have. But.
It says this ClickUp has a free version, so I'm assuming that some have free versions.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can dump. I don't know if you can dump like the audio of an hour-long meeting into a free version of one of these things.
It probably doesn't do aggregation.
But yeah,
it doesn't do like summaries and things like that. But if you're doing a survey, it probably gets challenging.
And I can also say that we need the terms and facts and findings in the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, Annie will probably just beat me up. Yeah.
I don't think she will.
Welcome. Hi, Beth. How's your ankle?
It's getting there.
It's getting there. Good. Good. Welcome. We just finished our regular meeting and we'll start with Kathleen, too. I haven't heard anything from Marla.
No.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
Mary was here earlier, though, looking into education costs for miles.
Oh, okay.
She thought he was perhaps too busy to do it, so she stopped in and...
I think Alex has done some research as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I did research into the relationship between the number of tuitioning kids in Kirby to property taxes in Kirby. And so, yeah, I mean... I'll just say, like, I didn't read that, like, all the acts, so it's not lawyerly whatever, but I read all the summaries that are out there, I called a number of legislators. I think we may have spoken briefly. A few people pointed me to Senator Beck. I spoke to somebody in the State Agency of Education, and I can tell you that Senator Beck, who I think many people acknowledge as like maybe the most knowledgeable person in this area, says there is no direct relationship between the number of Kirby tuitioning students on the one hand and the property taxes of Kirby taxpayers on the other. And I know this is a bigger topic, people may have questions.
Yeah.
It definitely, before 1997, the answer was absolutely, because Kirby was responsible for paying for its own kids. So if it had 100 kids, it needed to come up with funding to pay for 100 kids, and your property taxes would be directly impacted by every kid who moved into Kirby and was now tuitioning out. Right now, like, the formula is so different that it's just not true. And you know, and obviously, so Kirby's part of the NEK Choice District.
Yep.
The NEK Choice District comes up with a budget. Let's say the budget is, I'll make up a number, $10 million, right? And it says, this is our budget to fund all the kids in our in this choice district. That budget then gets sent to Montpelier, basically, to the state. And I hope you'll correct me if any of this is wrong, but it becomes part of an overall state education fund goal. So there's no, and I asked the question to Senator Beck in a number of different ways because of the conversations that we've had here. I was like, well, is there a lever in this complicated formula that would capture like an increase in the number of students mm-hmm. in Kirby that would, you know, pretty directly lead to an increase in property taxes? And he said, no, that lever doesn't exist. What the NEK choice budget comes up with is ultimately the closest thing that's relevant, and it's just not a direct correlation at all, is the spending per pupil by the NEK choice district, right? That number is relevant to the property taxes people eventually pay, which means that if the NEK choice district, which again is not even just Kirby, but even if we look more broadly at that district, if the NEK choice district were to say, we've chosen to adopt a budget of $10 million, but there's only 10 kids in the whole district because we value education so much and we don't care about money, right? When that budget gets sent to, I call it Montpelier, but like Central or wherever they all go, right? They will look and say, hey, look, your spending per pupil is $1 million per pupil.
And
you're out of your minds, and that is one of the levers. So spending per pupil is one of a number of complicated little levers
right.
that affect it. But
okay.
but spending per pupil is the closest that any lever comes. And obviously spending per pupil, like if 10 new kids move into Kirby tomorrow and they all go to Riverside, right? If the NEK Choice District adjusts its budget so that those 10 kids, right, and the same amount of money is spent on them that has been spent in the past per pupil, then your property taxes don't go up at all as a result of that increase, because it doesn't change the per pupil spending. So it's counterintuitive, right? You live in the town, you see people come in, right? Like, oh, that's a lot of kids. But it's spread out throughout the whole state,
right?
And it's not a one-to-one. And obviously, other people know a lot more than I do about what the actual explanation for the rise in property taxes is. But that's not it. It's like the health benefits of all the teachers in all the state.
Right, right.
So I just wanted to share that, because that was part of
Thank
the conversation
you.
That we're, yeah.
Anyway.
So, Alex, if I can sort of summarize, although an influx for school choice might be emotionally, philosophically, morally offensive, if it's being abused,
mm-hmm.
the math doesn't play out. It's
correct. It does not eliminate the fact that we may well have a situation we want to address as a community that involves, like, hey, when at the last meeting I was at, people were talking about houses that are quote-unquote always tuitioning,
yeah.
right? And if we define that as an example of a problem, hey, these people move here, their kids go to school here, and then they leave.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not a problem.
Right.
Like, we may well decide that's a problem. Like, these people are just out of here. But it's not a property tax problem. It's just, like, a community building problem.
Right.
And in fact, Senator Beck took it even a step further than I was even saying. And he's like, look, actually, the amount of money that the NEK Choice District receives per student is actually more than Riverside charges for tuition. So actually, like, even for the example that we sort of just found ourselves using at the last meeting, which is kids move in here and then they go to Riverside, right? Like, the district as a whole is actually receiving more money, like, from the state, from the sort of statewide.
Where does that money go then, if they're receiving more?
I don't know what.
It's
but,
just
but
going
he was
to the
sort
pot.
Of suggesting it might even, yeah, it's going into like an educated
yeah.
choice pot that he was saying they're actually better off the more, and I'm not taking it that far. I'm just saying.
Right.
Your summary was good. Yeah, like I agree with your summary, which is that it may be something that we want to address, but if the planning commission or committee is considering taking any steps regarding choice, it should be aware that, well,
no. That's
and it's
really
not up to us.
We're looking at just town plan.
We're just, what we want to do is to articulate it in the town plan.
Right, well, if there's any planning work being done that has anything to do with choice. Well, when I was at town meeting, I thought when I was at town meeting day and when I was at the last meeting here, I thought we were talking about possibly saying, okay, we want to maybe limit the number of kids that people have in a given tuition, and it was, part of it was driven by the fear that property taxes are rising, and I just want to allay
well,
that
I
fear
think
and,
you're
say,
right.
Thank you.
And say that
yeah.
that's not yeah. the case. It may be a community building issue,
right.
but
that's,
it's not a property tax.
Thank
issue.
You.
We were talking about
no, that is very important
yeah.
to know. Thank you.
I mean, I think yeah. I don't know, you know, Mr. Beck at all, but like I know from reading that. People in Danville claimed, right, I'm not like accusing, but they said that he was misleading them about school, like, so I don't necessarily, like, I would love to see more of that stuff, you know, I don't want to just hang
yeah.
my hat on that, because there could be other, you know,
yeah, and I,
visions
I mean, I
of it.
Of stuff here, but I don't want to get it, but I'll just say, sorry.
No, it's good information. I was going to say, like, where I look at it from is literally our first page of our town plan that we're working on says, like, maintain scenic beauty and rural character and preserve the rural character and agricultural lands and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's where I look at, like, I'm not trying to take away school choice, but what is attracting people, right? If we look at, we're waiting on those demographics information from the school board members that I think we should email some specifics of what we're looking for. But if, you know, two big farms just basically sold their cows over in South Kirby, and that whole valley over there could get parceled up, and, you know, so it's not like taking a choice away. It's just balancing these ideas, which have been in here for, like, decades of, like, preserve agricultural land, and then looking at, like, well, what's now affecting development in town, and just trying to... Because we can't say, like...
Yeah, and I have nothing to say. Yeah,
no, but we just can't say, like, oh, preserve agricultural lands, but then watch as it's, like, chopped into, like, 5-10-acre lots, and because we have school choice. I mean,
we
could do that, but we just have to plan ahead.
Yeah, and I have nothing to say about any of that. I was just making a very, very narrow point that I thought was correcting something I had heard, which is that kids move into Kirby and our property taxes go up because they tuition out. And my understanding, based on reading a lot of stuff, but also talking to people, is that although that seems like that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
Property tax wise, and that's all I have to say about that.
That's great. Thank you for that.
And I have to run and pick up my daughter. But
okay. No, we appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Alex.
I appreciate your time.
And so we have Kathleen Lord here from NVDA.
Hi.
Welcome. And we're going to talk about Act 181 and how it affects Kirby.
Yes, because we're working on our town plan and we want to make sure we include language that covers it if we need to.
So I wrote a few different handouts. I wasn't able to print another big one for you guys, but I did bring some smaller maps.
Thank you.
I have a few more if anyone wants one.
Thank you.
So I also have descriptions of what you're looking at. So should I start, like, are you Tracy?
I am.
Okay. should I start from, like, the very beginning
yes.
of things?
Thank
okay.
you.
I don't know where to start.
I mean, I'm sure you know there's been...
You can stand right there. That's
okay.
Perfect if you're comfortable. Or you can sit.
Yeah, I just want to put my back towards you.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys have probably heard about Act 181 in the news. It's kind of a hot topic at the moment. So sort of the main goals behind Act 181 is to generate more housing in dense areas and then protect our rural lands or our most environmentally important lands. So I work for a regional planning commission, and we were tasked, our main task was to map out village centers and downtown centers, also known as like tier one areas, which some towns have tier 1A or 1B, which can lead to exemptions from Act 250, which promotes the building of housing units. There's also tier two village centers, which they get other benefits, but not any Act 250 exemptions. Kirby doesn't have either of those. You don't have enough of like a hub area to develop a center.
You're in it.
Yeah, right. And so our general,
what's that? It's measured in square feet.
Yeah. we've been going by like having a certain amount of civic buildings, churches, stores, residents in a condensed area, and you just don't have that. There's like one other town in the region that doesn't have one. I'm thinking it's Bloomfield. And so you just have the rural land categories, which are rural general, rural conservation, and rural ag and forestry. So I'll just hold one up for everyone that doesn't have one. The tannish color is rural general, the teal is ag and forestry, and the green is conservation. And so rural general is where, rural general is where there's like a low density of housing or any sort of like commercial action you guys have going on. And then green is a variety of things for conservation, including wetlands, river corridors, elevations over 2,000 feet. It can be state or federal protected land.
Like Darling Forest,
yeah.
Which is here.
Mm-hmm. And then ag and forestry is just what it sounds like, and it's blocks of 20 acres or more that are contiguous. So that's the... That's basically it for your map. When we did our first round, we were asking, you know, are there parcels of land where you think it should be a different rural category, and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, the rural categories can be lumped into one category of being rural. So the distinction between them shows the underlying land usage, but it doesn't have any implications. You only have implications if you have a village center, a downtown, a village area, all of those things. So you don't have really any impacts from that.
Under what conditions would somebody who is trying to develop their land have to go through Act 250 in a rural area?
So that depends on a couple of things. So tier three in the road rule is what has got people like really jacked up about
800 feet,
this.
The driveway
yes.
and stuff.
So that is all being determined by the Land Use Review Board. The RPCs don't have any input. We're like
we're like anyone else in that we're providing feedback, but we don't have any say in where it is mapped. And so those areas, you will have to go through Act 250 to do any sort of development. And then if you're not in a Tier 1 area and not in a Tier 3, everything else is Tier 2, which we refer to as the status quo tier, and that however your town operates now, it's the same case scenario. So, like, I live in Lindenville, I'd have to go through the town and go through all of the zoning permits and all of that to develop land if it was Tier 2, or if it was somewhere that was already subject to Act 250, then you would still have to go through the Act 250 process. It doesn't go away. But those are the scenarios when you'd have to go through.
So I would love recommendations on what sort of language we should be putting in our town plan to address what our tier is and what our, like, for example, the conservation areas. That actually might change over time. My parents are trying to conserve their land through the Vermont Land Trust. Mm-hmm. So that area would then turn, I'm assuming, green and...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It would probably stay as the teal color for ag and forestry, depending on what is currently there and how the land is being used. So it depends on in what sense it's being conserved. It's mostly...
It is being conserved as ag and forestry land, yes.
Okay. So if it's state or federal, it goes into green, generally speaking. There are exceptions to that. But otherwise, it usually stays teal because there's a lot of instances where something can come out of conservation, and it's more to show the underlying usage. And so if it's a forest, it would most likely stay teal. And the green is most often showing landscape limitations. So like a wetland, you're not going to build there. It's a mountain, you're not going to build there, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So just because it's in conservation doesn't mean it would be in rural conservation, which is, I understand, counterintuitive, but...
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
May I ask, could you summarize what you just referred to? What is the firestorm regarding the 800 feet? Why are people so worked up about that?
That it will hinder development in rural areas. And
so the 800 feet refers to a driveway?
A driveway, yeah.
A driveway anywhere or a driveway where there's wetland or... environmental concerns
in Tier 3. It would be 800 feet in Tier 3.
Yeah. So well, it's kind of separate, and this is all in like draft stages still by the Land Use Review Board. But it's kind of anywhere that's an offshoot of main roads that exist now. It is really trying to prevent any sort of sprawl into forested areas. So if you go, you can go online and look at the LURB's map viewer of where the draft's currently saying it's going to be, and you can see that in the NEK, it's like all over the place. There is an exception that people don't realize pretty often, is that for things like logging roads and stuff, it doesn't apply. So there are exceptions to it, but it is in a lot of the NEK. So
do ancient roads and class 4 roads for a town come under the driveway category, or are they exemptions?
Well,
because they're not maintained by the town.
Well, if that's something that's already existing, This has to be a new, like a new driveway. You have to create a new driveway.
To construct the new one, you need the permit. It's over 800.
Yeah, because they're trying to prevent fragmentation.
So this is overlaid on what currently exists as far as town rules and our current zoning rules. This would then trump all that, correct?
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
Especially because things keep changing with this. But in general, none of this is supposed to act as zoning. Like your town zoning wins out. But something that's at the state level can
to keep in mind.
Interfere with that. Yeah. So, but I don't want to tell you yes or no with how things are changing.
So is that the concern with the 800 feet is that people are in towns and then they're like, well, then what does that mean for what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And like if you want to subdivide a property and now that subdivision needs a driveway, like it would make that really costly to do. So it's things like that. There was a question about, you asked a question about language in the town plan. So your town plan has to have a future land use map, and you can use this, but you don't have to. And so, like you mentioned with your parents' land being put into conservation, they have to be, I'm trying to think of what the exact word is, in statute, I think it's compatible. They have to be compatible or consistent with the original plan's future land use map, but it doesn't have to be the same. And because you have all rural categories, it would automatically be consistent with the regional plan. So if you wanted to change your parents' land into rural conservation, you could do that. And so you could put a lot more into rural conservation or take some areas out of it and that sort of thing. And you would just want to talk about why you did that. I don't believe you need to talk about tier three at all in your town plan. We haven't been suggesting that to anyone, especially because I think it's pushed out to 2030 now of when that goes into effect. So you can't even begin to guess. Yeah.
Okay.
That could change so much over the years.
Okay.
So.
I have a question. How many buildings, you said, would constitute like that center of town that it changes the status?
I think we were doing three at minimum.
Like three, like, is that a business?
Yeah.
And a house? And
three, at least three non-residential.
Because we do have one section that's on Route 2, would that already has one business, and possibly that could be developed more, and that would immediately put us into a whole different situation.
Okay.
There, right? Like two
can
more
you,
businesses go
can you
in there.
Point to me where it is?
That's our only. It's down here. It's at the bottom. It's this little curve that we have.
I think we talked about this.
Which
last
is our only.
Here,
that's our
right
only
here.
Commercial
okay.
part of town. So business. It's here.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody
okay.
wants mine. I took a picture of it. So.
I just need to know what.
I'll pass it to somebody if they want it. Okay.
You guys want to check these maps that they
come to us? Yeah, I'm just curious. So, like, two more businesses go in there, and we're into a different tier.
Right. So right now there's
that
only
part.
One, is what you said. I think
there's two.
Is there two?
So Minchels.
Okay.
And
so we're one business away from a center.
Okay.
You know that. Yeah, exactly. So I think we should know what's the changes about them. But yeah.
Okay.
It's just that one little area at the south end of town.
I haven't seen it myself, so I can't really speak to it. But I can take a look at it and talk to the other staff member that does mapping as well. Because also, this will change. You know, like, we have to redo our regional plan every 8 years. And so you'd also have that opportunity then to become a village center. So, but I will look at it.
Well, I don't know if we want to or not. It's just, like, understanding the pros and cons of it and, like, how it will change permitting for people that buy that land and develop it.
It doesn't have any impact on your zoning. It would be... there's a bunch of different grants that you have, like, the upper hand on. And to be quite honest, I'm not sure how that's going to work, because now just about every town in the state is going to have a village center that has all of these benefits. And right now it's like, okay, more people are qualified, but is there more money? So I don't know how much of a benefit it is just yet, but it would be things like if the village center was right here, you could fix the building in some way if you needed to. And there's things with tax credits and different things like that. I don't have that handout with me, but I could send it to you guys if you want to look into it more. I have a feeling, just from how we've mapped all the other village centers, I have a feeling you guys still probably wouldn't qualify, but I'm willing to take a look at it. And if you want to weigh out the pros and cons,
I'm just curious. Like, there's already a couple businesses there, so if the number's three, then we're this far away from having some other issue with the, you know, how it affects us all. So
The Minchels had the greenhouse. The wife had the greenhouse business for a while, so maybe she could re-up that one,
because
that was separate
from
the fencing.
I don't
think she wants to.
Well, I was just going to say, when they had the rally at the steakhouse, that there was a person that testified that they have property that they are doing maple sugaring on, and with the road rule, they wouldn't be able to do that today.
I don't believe that to be true.
Well, that was their testimony.
Yeah, because the road rule does have exceptions with different forestry byproducts. So I don't actually think that's accurate.
Part
of it. There's a lot of misinformation going on with all of this. So, like, trust me, I'm living and breathing this every single day. Yeah, it's hard, like, filtering through all the info that's coming out on it, but...
So basically, the road rule would be like, we want to put 5 houses in this field here, and you'd have to have a longer driveway. They're trying to eliminate that, but not access your wood or a field access or something like that.
Well, it would have to be 800 feet. Or more.
But yeah, if you put 5 houses in there, you're going to have an 800-foot driveway, because you're going to have one access to all 5.
Potentially. But it's not everywhere, either.
So basically what they're trying to do is, like, eliminate, like, a cul-de-sac.
Not necessarily. I think they're just trying to push it to centers of development instead of, you know, clearing forested area. So, but I highly recommend, like, looking up the Land Use Review Board and all of that, because they're the ones in charge of that. I don't deal with any of that on the day-to-day. So, that would be where to go for more information.
Regarding the driveway, the road issue, just to circle back around to that, it's my understanding that you can have a driveway that's longer than 800, it's just going to trigger Act 250.
Correct.
And I guess my concern about that would be that the permitting for Act 250 becomes financially prohibitive.
Yeah.
And therefore, that means that people who have money could build a long driveway
right.
And a house that's fragmenting forest and go through all the Act 250 permits and be able to pay for that without any trouble. So I guess that would be, from a rural standpoint, my point of concern regarding
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with the road rule. Like I told my husband recently, I don't get paid to have an opinion on this. I just share the information.
Right.
So if you have concerns, I definitely recommend on the Land Use Review Board website, they have an email that you can send comments to. Because RVCs we're trying our best to not be the ones that take in that information. We'd rather it go right to the LURB. Because they're the ones
RPC, the
Regional Land Use Commission.
Okay.
The Land Use Review Board, LURB.
Yeah, okay. The LURB is the one that's doing. RPCs are like NBDA.
Okay.
Yeah. What does RPC
stand for? Regional Planning Commission.
Regional Planning Commission.
A website that you would refer people to?
If you just look up Vermont Land Use Review Board, it'll be the first thing.
Natural, it was something else before this.
Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah, it's no longer, it was the Natural, Natural Resources Council. Natural Resources Conservation Commission, I can't remember.
Yeah, that. Something like that.
And
I
it's now the Land Use Review Board, so that's.
My suspicion regarding the 800-foot rule is it's an attempt to prevent damaging development that is sort of hasty. Like the example I would give is that many towns didn't have rules against spaghetti lots for decades. And oh my God, what a disaster spaghetti lots are, where you have lots that are 100 feet wide but 1,000 feet deep. And that was done to try to maximize development along road frontages. And we came to all realize that is not helpful. And so now most towns have rules against spaghetti lots. These ridiculously narrow but deep lots. So I suspect that's part of what they're after with the 800, is they're looking for ways to prevent fragmented development that is destructive to forest. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know enough about it. But.
I also, from what I have read, and I may be completely off base here, but a large portion of land is owned by like farmers in Kirby that, you know, they may sell their cows and stuff like that. But in order to sell it into plots or whatever, the Act 250, if they want to give something to their children, a portion to their children, it triggers Act 250 and the money is not there.
Yeah.
And that's a really big concern, especially for people who own a lot of property and want to keep it in the family.
Mm-hmm. And why is that triggering Act 250 if they wanted to? Is it because of this 800-foot driveway rule?
The subdivision can trigger Act 250.
Just 100 acres split into 250-acre parcels would trigger that if it was family?
It depends on where it is. And if it's,
that's what I'm trying to get at. What would be the red flag for Act 250?
If it's in Tier 3.
Yeah, and that's what.
Yeah.
That's so what we have.
The Tier 3 is a lot of like buffered areas. It's where there are really steep slopes. Maybe where there's a wetland, a river corridor, like different things like that.
Which is
Kirby. Yeah, that's Kirby.
Yeah. So NVDA has been, like, since the beginning of this, we've known this is disproportionately going to impact the NEK just because of the rural makeup we have naturally. So,
yeah, you've been placed in an interesting
position. And that's why that's really why people are upset, because the NEK disproportionately gets slammed.
Yeah.
It does. To the other side of the state, in every single way.
With rules, not benefits.
Right. I mean, people are angry.
A lot of people are angry. I will say places like Lamoille County, other northern communities.
Franklin.
They're also seeing this disadvantage. Tier 3 is a very small percentage of the state. I think right now it's at like 6% of state lands. It's just like where that 6% is falling. So I think you definitely want to check out their map viewer.
Yeah.
It helps give you some perspective on where it is.
Because, and seriously, I'm not shooting the messenger. I'm just trying to make sense of the fact that what we don't want are a lot of rich people moving in that can afford 250.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to.
I mean, that's my personal thing. That has nothing to do with.
Yeah, I will say in May we're going to be hosting a webinar with Alex Weinhagen. He is the lead of all the Tier 3 stuff on Blurb. And he's going to do a presentation and have time for questions. And we'll send that out to all of the towns. So
people can attend. That would be good.
And he's the person to ask with all of this.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pull up my computer.
Sounds like a good time.
What's the makeup of the land use review board? Is it just all Montpelier, or are there representatives from different portions of the state?
It took the place of the Natural Resources Board. It used to be but because they've been tasked with overseeing Act 250, they're now called the Land Use Review Board. So they could have went from a natural resource.
Mm-hmm. It's
very different, very
made
interesting
up of
shift.
Five people on the board, and then they have staff members. They all have to, what is it?
Alex Weinhagen is one of them.
Yep. Janet Hurley is the chair, and they have to be, the five of them are all from different counties. That was a requirement, is that they are from five different counties.
Is there anybody from the NEK?
Yes. Kirsten Salton.
Yeah, I know who
from
that is.
Wendenville.
Yeah, it was Hannah Sarabier's mom.
Yeah. She does Act 250 then. Kirsten does.
So this isn't like regular zoning regs or town rules that have to be voted on by people before they
it's all through legislation. And that's why, so NBDA has met with every town except for Victory at least once. And that's because they didn't want to meet with us. We tried.
They didn't want to meet with you?
No, we tried.
They are kind of a town unto itself.
but
in the water.
We met with everyone to get feedback. We met with all of the planning commissions, if not the select board, to get feedback.
But they're also because they're getting bad feedback and doesn't matter.
Oh, the LURB?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about NBDA.
No, it sounds like nothing you can change.
No, I can't. Unfortunately. A lot of people think we can, but we can't. The LURB is functioning as a board that is created by statute. They're bound by statute. It's really comes down to legislation and what they decide, because it's the LURB that is making it happen. They're doing the research and enforcing it. But it's the same thing with us for Tier 1. We don't make the rules. We follow the statute. We follow the VAPTA methodology and try to work with towns to make it happen. So
I think they should have to work directly with towns.
Well, they have done a ton of outreach. The one the most recent one for the NEK was up in Newport. There was a good showing for that. There was quite a few people at it.
How are they conveying those meetings? How are they getting that word out? Do you know? Are they using Front Porch Forum? Are they using...
I am not entirely sure. I know a lot of stuff has come to us, and we share it out. We put it in, like, our newsletter and try to share it with our contacts. But other than that, I'm not entirely sure how. I know you can sign up on our webpage, but if you don't know about it, you know.
Right.
So,
and I know that's something that they actually admitted to, was that a lot of people didn't know about this. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, they do a round of outreach with every draft. So they're starting again this summer, and that's why Alex is coming.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you have any, like, input to people, like, implementing it. I know you guys are just designing it, but mm-hmm. or maybe you could in, like, one of your, you know, meetings, like, why don't they test it out somewhere? If Washington County, Addison, Chittenden County, Montpelier, Burlington want to do it, why not test it there and then move it to the whole state? You know, Act 250 is huge. It created different problems in different places. Why not do a pilot program, you know, in one area and just see what are the effects? You know, I don't get it. It's like we had to rip the Band-Aid and slap something new on.
Yeah,
it just seems very, too many unknowns to be making this huge change.
I understand
with all
that.
The other unknowns that are going on.
Yeah, I do understand that.
I don't know if that's something you guys could mention up. You know, I know we could reach out to our people, but...
You can definitely reach out to the Land Use Review Board. I would say we are way too far into it to backpedal.
No, I know, but when we're this far in and we don't even have, like, actual maps, everything from the newspaper articles to this, it all says, like, warning, this is not for planning. Like, so how can anyone make a 100% permanent decision on something that hasn't been tested, and even the maps are, like, best guess, you know? I mean,
well,
I'm not trying to say you guys didn't do a lot of work on it, but how do we know this is going to be better, you know?
Yeah, I understand your points. I guess, I don't know, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, it's...
Doesn't a lot of this hinge on people that own land and property in, like, those, like,
zones.
Development centers? If they don't want to build, what's the plan? Like, we've now made it harder for people to build in rural places. And if somebody in St. J. Center doesn't want to put another level on their apartment, like, what's... Like, you can't force private development. So I just don't understand limiting some of it.
The benefit of the village centers and the tier one areas, it's you're not forcing anyone to use it. The town also has to opt in for 1B or apply for 1A. There's we've had several towns opt in to 1B, and it's there if you need it, but if you don't use it, that's fine. It's just there for an option. It has to be, it comes into effect when someone is building, like, up to 50 housing units, and that's if you're in a parcel of land that is subject to Act 250. Otherwise, everything goes as normal because it doesn't have any impacts on your zoning. Does that help clarify?
Not really. How many 50-unit developments are there even in the state right now? Like,
well,
it can't be that many.
To that.
But I'm saying, like, but are there even 50-unit developments, even Burlington? Or
Oh, some other,
are there? Absolutely. Colonial apartments in St. J has close to 50.
Does it?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So there are places, so it, but
may I suggest you're trying to incentivize Tier 1?
Yeah. It's an incentive, and there's no, like, negative consequence if you don't use it. It's trying to encourage development in that area. Because sort of one of the overarching goals is to prevent urban sprawl and to have more smart growth in the sense of like walkable communities and different things like that.
So if I'm understanding you, having our zoning bylaws in good order would be prudent. Moving forward.
Well, it's always good to have your zoning
why would it be different?
But this.
Well, she's saying that if she's saying that our zoning bylaws would be the default.
As it is right now, there's no change.
Okay.
So, yes, you do want your zoning in good standing, but
in 2030, who knows?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's When this goes into effect, it'll be whatever your zoning is. You don't have anything in your town that, like what I showed you, none of that is going to override your zoning.
Okay.
So it's not a zoning map. So. I do have, yeah.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, from what I... The testimony we heard in our committee, Jericho, Vermont, mm-hmm. if anybody wants to check it out, they actually want the rich people living there, and they don't want any building in Tier 1, Tier 2, all that they don't want. So they only want building in, I guess it would be Tier 3, and they want McMansions. I'll just say it like that. $1.2 million homes. They have to have so much square footage, so many bathrooms, so many bedrooms. And that's what they put into their plan. And they made the building in Tier 1, et cetera. They've put guidelines in there where you basically can't do anything.
Wow.
How interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And they don't care about the cost of, you know, Act 250. They go through all that, but they have deep pockets, and they want to have, you know, the green around them. They want to enjoy the forest. They want to enjoy all that, and that was their plan.
Not heard that.
Check it out.
Yeah, well.
That's so interesting.
So I'm sort of switching gears a little bit. Another part of Act 181 is that we had to assign housing targets to every community in the region. We got a regional housing target from the state, and we had to figure out how to distribute it. So I brought you guys some info from the webinar we did, so you can have this to reference if you'd like. So it varies pretty widely from town to town, and there are a few different timelines and goals. And so there's a high and low end target for 2030 and a high and low end target for 2050. And that's based on pre and post pandemic market. And so for Kirby, also to preface, this is completely aspirational.
I saw that.
Yeah, like, I'll be perfectly honest, in general, the housing targets are not very attainable. There are some really high numbers. And so there's no penalty for not meeting it, but the requirement is that you talk about it in your town plan. And if you don't think it's achievable, you say why. And so for Kirby, the low end and high end for 2030 are 7 and 9 units. And for 2050, the low end is 21 and the high end is 40.
Total houses built?
Yes. But it doesn't have to be you don't have to build a new house. Their towns will, like, to get anywhere near these numbers, will have to get creative. And it could be an abandoned house comes back online. You convert a house into multiple units. You put an accessory dwelling unit in your backyard. You turn your garage into an ADU, different things like that. So it doesn't have to be new build, but it can be. And then some more background on how we assign these. It was determined by capacity of the town. So things like town staffing, whether or not you have off-site water and sewer, and then it's population is considered, land categories from this map, and I'm missing one.
May I clarify these aspirational numbers? Is this annually? So 7.
No, in total,
by
2030. By 2050.
From what date to 2030 is that first one? Like 2026 or 20?
From now.
So Aaron, may I ask you, what's a number sort of from the sky annually in Kirby? How many houses right now are being built?
Two.
Three. But annually over the next 4 years would be.
Yeah, totally.
But if we're doing 2 or 3 a year, by 2030, that's 10.
Probably. We would probably make
that. And that would meet your high end of 9. So a lot of the smaller towns, it is pretty similar to numbers of what could happen naturally. The other one I was forgetting before that's considered is if you have any Tier 1 eligibility, which you guys don't.
If we had Tier 1 eligibility, would these be higher numbers then?
Yeah.
So we wouldn't want that third business over on Route 2.
Oh, no.
That's municipal. You have to have, like, municipal sewer and water.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot
That's very different.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you need to be Tier 1.
Yeah.
What we were talking about was a village center, which there can... A village center can be Tier 1 A or B, but those are places like downtown St. Jay, Lindenville, Newport, Derby, things like places like that where you have a lot of infrastructure. There's several different town plans you need to have, and like a capital improvement plan, different things like that. So you guys would have a long road to get to Tier 1, and I don't think that's what the town wants either, so you don't have to worry about that.
You were discussing Tier 2 as a potential coming online. That's what you were suggesting.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure what it would change.
Whether it would trigger and would it... Yeah, that was the discussion, not Tier 1. When we were talking earlier...
I thought the village center was Tier 1.
We were talking about...
Village centers can be Tier 1.
But it could also be Tier 2.
Yeah.
Tier 3?
Can Tier 3 have them?
No.
Okay. That's why we're Tier 3.
A village center could be Tier 2 if it doesn't qualify for Tier 1. So that would be like your standard village center. But it doesn't have the extra qualities that make it eligible for 1.
Like, for example, Linden, I believe, is going for a downtown designation.
Yes. They opted in for 1B, because considering applying for 1A when that rolls around, but they don't meet all the requirements yet.
And that was primarily like if you have where Tappan Valley is, if you want to put a senior housing center
right.
there, you would be close to downtown services. You would have benefits of lighting and the walkability and the sidewalks and aesthetics come with the downtown designation. So I think that, you know, in trying to concentrate some development there, because no housing, there's not enough housing for people who want to be there, or the apartments are out of reach for a lot of people. So they're looking at those uses.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out again.
Absolutely.
Does anybody else have
questions? Does anybody have questions? For?
Do you have any other town plan rewriting questions?
Well, will you write it for us?
No. We're getting there. We're getting there.
I certainly will.
We were struggling with education a little bit, but I actually think...
we're circling with education, yeah.
How do we rank? Are we a pretty docile crowd compared to some of it you've spoken to?
I've been to some rowdy places, yeah. No, you guys are great. So I had one person say, don't worry, I left my pitchfork at home.
I'm like,
good.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I've had some experiences. But, yeah, again, I definitely encourage you all to look up the LURB's website.
Yeah.
And LURB, again, is...
Land Use Review Board. If you have comments for them, send it over to them. I will share the webinar with you guys when we get the invite all squared away.
Are we on your email list? Like,
so to be quite honest, I have no idea. We have so many lists. Running around.
But there is a Kirby Planning Commission. There is a Gmail, right? There's a Kirby Planning Commission Gmail.
Yep.
Account.
But I'm just not sure if we're on it.
Because I'd be fine with just setting it to the town clerk.
Like a year ago to set up the first meeting.
Do you get the newsletter, Erin? The
MBA.
Do you get the
monthly
newsletter?
I'm not sure.
Do you want me to sign up? I think it would be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
do that too.
What? Well, you could send it to the Planning Commission.
I can do that right now.
Does somebody log in?
I was
going to
say, I could just.
I can just do it right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because you can also individually be on it if you'd like.
Yeah.
Like your personal email. But I can get you guys signed up.
I think we should be on that.
It has a lot of advance notice for meetings and hearings and things like this.
We can just right here sign up for a newsletter.
Yeah. Cool. And if you're curious, our regional plan is being voted. So this map all goes into our regional plan, and our board is voting on that next week. And then we package it up and send it to the Land Use Review Board to be hopefully approved.
So what would they approve on this? Just that it's accurate?
Yeah, so we have to do site visits with them, going to the Tier 1 eligible areas.
I see.
They review the map. They review our entire regional plan, which they give a lot of feedback on, because I think 6 RPCs have gone through the process. That's like the pre-application process, and then
it's this
you send it back and they vote on it again.
I'm sorry, Kirby Planning Board at Gmail, right?
Is it Planning Board or Commission? I think it's Commission, isn't it?
Is it,
Kirby Town Planning.
Kirby Town Planning? That's funny, I just saw
Kirby Planning Board at Gmail.
That's the old one.
There's a different one now to check?
Well, we had some problems.
Oh, no.
That, yeah.
Does this map include private roads or just town roads?
These are just town roads.
And I'd love to overlay that map onto the housing. See who falls where. It'd be sort of interesting.
I've forget what all the classes are that are on it, but not private roads.
So
class threes are on it, but not class fours.
But this map should be included in our town plan as a land use.
And again, you can make edits to it, and we can help you with that if you want to make that.
I mean, I'd love to overlay it with housing at some point. Why is it not letting me do this?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kathleen. We really appreciate your...
No problem. And feel free to reach out.
Do you have the email? So I can just put it in.
That's what I'm looking for. It's funny. It's not letting me click on
this. Yeah, I guess I haven't been logging into the new one.
It is. I think it's so pretty if it wasn't April.
Oh, we're done. I'm done with it. I shouldn't speak for anybody else.
And if you guys need any help with your town plan update, just shoot me an email. We're like allotted a certain amount of time to help towns that don't have an MPG. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just let me know. Thanks a
Thank
lot.
You.
Should I go?
Yeah. You can go out that door. Yeah. Thanks again. Thanks
drive
again.
Safely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I haven't.
Sorry, did she start at 6:30?
Yeah.
6:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She
started at 6:28.
Well, she hadn't gotten married.
Not at all. Yeah. So, are you all... Were you here for the Act 181?
I was curious.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you're going to your regular meeting now.
No, we're done.
That was, although we should talk about our next steps on the town plan, because I took that over, so I'd love a little guy.
Did you get your the answers to what you came with?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good.
All kinds of questions. Just adds more questions to everything.
Right. Well, it sounds like you can send questions or comments to the Land Use Review Board website and maybe get more definite answers than from NVDA.
And Kirsten Sultan is the person who lives in this area that's on that board. I just typed in Land Use Review Board and it came right up.
Who
and their list.
Kirsten
Sultan.
What was the date Alex is going to do?
May. She doesn't know. She's going to send us that information. Yeah. I could include it on the Kirby community page.
So when do they plan to have the main vote on this?
The what?
The main vote on Act 181.
It doesn't sound like there was a vote.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're pushing it.
They're
yeah, they're,
it's
the, they're like
it's
a,
already there.
They're like a legislative board.
It was already approved, right, Deb, in 2024?
The governor tried to veto it, and then the supermajority overrode his veto. So there's really not much he can do. It's, I think the date is like July of 2026. It goes into effect. Now the Senate has a bill, I forget the number of it, but they have a bill that is pushing the dates out, like you mentioned, 2030. So things wouldn't go into effect until 2030, as far as the...
Yeah.
That's Senator Watson. It's out of her committee. She came to our committee and talked to us about her bill.
With the belief that things are going to be tweaked and modified and adjusted to reality, or...
I just said to her, I said, we're in a crisis right now, is what I said to her. You can watch it on YouTube. It's like... Just suspend all that stuff and let people build, let towns figure out what they want and allow it to happen. And so, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm like, I don't know why you can't, but she was not into giving up control. But that bill has not moved forward yet. That has not, passed.
For 2030 and 2050.
Yeah.
which would be, you know, kick the can down the road.
Right. Okay.
I don't know why that saying gets such a bad rap. I used to kick cans down the road for hours when I was a kid.
Right.
It's fun.
At some point you picked it up.
Okay. Well, that part is over. We are going to now meet about the future of our town plan. And you're welcome to stay if you'd like, but don't feel obligated.
Thank you for arranging to have someone come.
Sure. That's Tracy. That's our wonderful Tracy.
I can't stay for too long.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to hold people up. I took over doing the edits for the town plan. And I mean, that was sort of the main reason I asked her to come was, do we need to include language in it? It doesn't sound like we do. We just need to make sure our bylaws are spiffy.
Well, we have to reference it.
We have to reference the housing targets in our zoning bylaws, right?
Yes, that's right.
Not the town plan.
In our, I thought you said the.
Did you say the town plan?
Town plan, okay. Yeah.
I mean, we could just have a line that says, like, NVDA, like, has set a target for our town of 7 to 9 housing units by 2030.
Yeah. Just, I wrote that.
And we could say it's an aspirational goal. It's not a requirement.
The math is. You know,
there we go. We mentioned it. And
we're projected to comply with that. If we build 2 or 3 a year times the next 4 years, we're at 8 to 12 by 2030. 2 to 3 a year annually times 24 years is 50 to 75 by 2050. So just doing nothing except onesie twosies a year is going to make us in the ballpark.
And I won't be alive to watch it.
Sure you will.
No,
I won't. 2030?
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's only 4 years away.
You'll still be doing this in 2020.
No, I
know. She's a.
You guys, I just got voted for 3 years. I'll still be here by 2028. You
that's
know?
Your problem because you didn't get to.
And Linda,
I was late
Linda Gochi just resigned.
Oh, yeah.
Linda Gochi did.
And Annie is, I think, is her.
She'll be moving soon.
Yeah, so she's going to be out of it. I mean, she asked me to, I think that's why she asked me to take over the.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you guys one
question? Please.
Sure. I was a little confused about the 800-foot thing.
The what?
The 800-foot thing. I just was trying to clarify in my mind. Maybe you guys understood. She was saying on one hand you have your zoning and that's set, right? And then on the other hand,
until this goes through.
Right. But then when you said 20,
I saw your face.
That's what I said, 2030. That trumps it, and she said, no, your zoning does. That's not what she was saying. Okay. I was like, how does that make sense? Okay.
I saw your face when she said that.
So I think our zoning bylaws are in effect, but the state
can then override that. So in terms of property taxes, that's where it gets complicated, because if people come in who do have the money, because that's what they're looking for, they can override it. I mean, they wouldn't care about our zoning. They would do the 800-foot, and they're not going to do that unless they have a lot of money.
Right.
Okay.
That would trigger that.
I was sitting there trying to, like, calculate that.
I mean, I'm sort of glad there's been a movement around this, because I think it's making this board that thought they were just going to shove everything through rethink it. I mean, there's been protests.
It sounds like it makes sense to contact them and just push. Like, the more people who push, maybe.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for NVDA. I feel like they've been tasked with a very difficult. You know, they have no control over this,
right,
zero, except to go back and say to them, this is very difficult.
They're just messengers, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, that doesn't mean we can't speak up and say we have all these tier three towns with a lot of rural character.
Yeah.
And please don't forget that that's where a lot of people live and try to make a living. And
the majority of the state lives there.
We've,
but it's Burlington and Montpelier
that drive
telling us how to live out here.
Yeah, yeah. I know, and I think that's the
when
big
they're the problem areas. Classic.
Rutland, yeah, the bigger towns, Woodstock, Manchester.
So how are you doing on the edits?
Do we have new edits for me to do?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Have you done all the ones that have you?
I think Annie had done them.
Okay, okay.
And so all she did was pass me off the, I mean, we can certainly go through and we do need a meeting to sit down.
We'll do it our next through. Meeting, okay. For sure.
Because,
yeah,
for sure.
And I also suggest...
I will include that language for housing targets, though. I can stick that in there. That I don't know what that would go under, but... Land use? No.
I think we should write an email to Miles and Nelia and just clarify what we're looking for. For information, like I would like to just see demographic information, you know. I don't even, for me personally, I don't need all the tax money stuff. I just want to know how have our school population grown, and we look at that with town population. And
can't I just think we get that off the NEK Choice website, the school
maybe district? Probably.
Think you have to look back through the town reports. That's what your mom was doing today.
Yeah. And that's the thing is there's, that info isn't clearly anywhere.
And they don't have it.
And they don't have it?
They will willingly share at least.
Why?
Because they send the annual report. So it's in our town report.
Hillary, I suspect it has to do with the fact that most towns were managing their own school budget, and now we're not, right?
Right.
So they don't necessarily have a historical retrospective on stuff like that.
I didn't understand what he was saying about how the per pupil cost makes it so more school kids doesn't up our tax bill. I don't agree with that.
How?
Well, because it goes into a pot.
A big pot for the whole district.
It didn't used to. But before 1997, I think it was.
But they count our students, and we pay the per pupil average minus what the state pays for however many kids Kirby has. So if Kirby has 100 kids or 300 kids, how would that not affect your taxes?
I don't know.
I didn't get it either.
Yeah. I mean, why would they count kids if the number of kids didn't matter? Because I cut a check every year, and it's usually between 900,000 and 1.1 million for 150-ish kids. I don't know. I didn't understand what he was saying, but I've been here for almost 12 hours, so maybe that's
yeah. Oh, my goodness. I know.
Okay. Are we ready to adjourn?
The only thing I will say about the tax bill is that I know that choice districts make a difference. It is a more attractive place to move.
Right.
And therefore your land is worth more, which is why our taxes are higher but our rates are lower. Right? Mm-hmm. So that is what happens.
And it's not that we don't want the school kids, we just want their parents to stay here, like, join the community,
talked a lot about community, and we're certainly talking more and more about that ourselves.
Which is great, yeah.
And I think it's actually something that most people do want.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of like a nationwide problem rurally.
Yeah, it is.
It's sort of hollowing out rural communities.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's necessarily something that it's on two different sides as far as that goes. I feel like that is definitely an issue.
Yeah.
And we were actually talking about that, like what could we do during the summer using this space and things like that. So, yeah, there's, I think that's a problem everywhere.
And you're quite right.
Doing something about it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Tracy and I have done a fair amount of adventuring in Vermont and New England in recent years, and there is unquestionably this hollowing out of every little town.
It's almost painful. It's almost painful.
The businesses fail. All these former institutions gone, and people just live in their houses. That's it.
Well, I'm not looking at the State of Vermont Agency of Education per pupil spending is not a clarifying act. It's very dense language.
It is very dense
language. It would take me a long time to figure this out.
That is why they keep talking about changing the way they do the funding, because it's, I have had this explained to me so many different ways, and every time I'm done, I'm like, why? It's not clear.
You shouldn't need a law degree to understand how we pay for school.
So
neither should you need a law degree to see a map like this and understand zone. Like, this is zoning or it isn't zoning. I mean, everything is just look over here, but it's you can't see the tan. Like, it just our government all around.
Well, and it's where at least in my experience coming to Vermont and having a local government has been a real eye-opener, because that was not something I ever grew up with anywhere I went. And so being able to have a voice in local government to me is huge. So every time they do something that starts pulling that away, I think that both hollows out community in Vermont, but it also doesn't end up addressing the problems that you need right there, right? You want to be working with your government.
Where did you move from?
I grew up kind of all over the place, but my last place was Hagerstown, Maryland, which isn't huge, but certainly huge by Vermont standards, right? But you didn't have a voice. Like, this was a real eye-opener, and it took a little while before I felt like I could open my mouth. Because, you know, you get to know a place and people, and it takes time. But I have to say, my daughter grew up in Hagerstown, and that is one of the things that she's like, I value this so much. So every time they start trying to pass laws there and tell us what to do here, she's like, no! We'll discuss it among ourselves! So,
good for her.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
if she would like to serve on the Planning Commission, or if you would like to do that, we will be recruiting
new people
come spring.
We're looking
for
one more person. Because someone resigned today. So just if you know of anybody, we would love to.
Or if you're interested.
Yeah. Or if you're interested, exactly.
I know if anyone is interested, they can just send me an email, and then I just have the select board open it to them.
What did you say, Kristen? You know?
I just said I'd just sit and listen for a while. Oh. There's a lot
I'm
of
still.
Stuff here.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, it's like throwing your feet in the...
Yeah.
Walking on coals.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad so many people showed up.
I know.
181 up there.
That was the Facebook page.
It's really...
I think it's very confusing.
It's very confusing.
And it sounds like it's very fluid.
It is. There's not a lot of... There's nothing written in stone at all. Unless you're in Tier 1A or Tier B. 2B.
Right.
Or 1B. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
2B or
something. Thank you very much.
Have a good
thank
one.
Thank you, Kristen. Adjourn.
And make a motion. We adjourn.
Second. I got a tutor at 8.
Vote, yeah.
I got to work at 8.
I got to go.
So I'm good. I won't drive dangerous. Don't worry.
How was the road over the mountain?
It's a little snowy, but it was fine.
I drove it. I was putting up the green up signs. And I'll just drive all the way over the mountain. And
yeah.
Oh. But one of the south.
I see all the people that are breaking the like Corvette out of the garage and yeah. parking it, and I'm like, it's your fault. Yeah. Like, you brought out the summer car.
So now this is.
If you just hold it until.